Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 32nd chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troubledst the waters with thy feet, and fouledst their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land, I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and I will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water thy blood, water with thy blood, the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people, when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee, when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters, neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full, when I shall smite them all that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nations shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt, and for all her multitude, saith the Lord God. It came to pass also, in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her, and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down, and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Asher is there, and all her company. His graves are about him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. There is Elam, and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living, Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. They have set her a bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. He is put in the midst of them that be slain. There is Meshach, Tubal, and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war, and they have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquities shall be upon their bones, though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Yea, thou shalt be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised, and shalt lie with them that are slain with the sword. There is Edom, her kings, and all her princes, which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pit. There be the princes of the north, all of them, and all the Zidonians, which are gone down with the slain. With their terror they are ashamed of their might. And they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword, and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword, saith the Lord God, for I have caused my terror in the land of the living. And he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain by the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. The passage is fairly straightforward. In the first section, which I have as 1 through 16, I mean, there is a bit of a dividing at 11, but still, we have this prophecy taking place, the date of it, shortly after the fall of Jerusalem. It is the last chapter on Egypt. This great nation, the enemy of righteousness and of God himself, because of her idolatry, has been given these last chapters of attention. And yet it is useful that the people of Israel may not lean on the broken reed of Egypt. And it is interesting to see what people use as the ground of their hope for the future. Some lean on Egypt. Some lean on their wealth. Some lean on their health and strength. Some lean on their wit, their cunning, their prowess. Some lean on their heritage, their breeding, or other society. But none of these avail. They are all false hopes. The people of God trusted in Egypt that they might resort there rather than to obey the voice of the Lord and to go out to the king of Babylon. So Egypt became a stumbling block to them. It represented their disobedience. And there may be things in our lives that have become the same to us, innocuous perhaps in themselves, but made the object of our security and trust in some form of an idol. The Lord declares that Egypt is a strong nation. He also declares that her strength is not sufficient to save her from judgment. The Lord, who is the owner and sustainer of all nations, will cause one nation to rise up against another. The Chaldeans shall rise up against Egypt and shall prevail. Note the metaphors in this passage. She is spoken of, Egypt is spoken of as a lion, as a whale. And the whale is an apt metaphor. Now, we have all kinds of connotations that we use for the word whale. Really, all you need to understand is a giant and powerful sea creature in the word whale. Remember that Egypt called her river, what she called her river, the River Nile. She called it a sea. It was so influential to the ancient Near East. And so that Egypt is called a large, powerful sea creature is it answers to that understanding that she had concerning that river Nile. And so the Lord says, we're going to cast a net, and we're going to draw you out, and we're going to lay you in the open field. And you know what happens to a large sea creature that is beached or laid in the open field. It's not a pretty sight. And so the Lord says, no matter how mighty you think you are, because you have not called upon my name, what will happen to you? You will be drawn out of your comforts. You will be drawn out of your habitation, and you will be laid in the open field. Egypt is also spoken of as a lion, but the Lord finishes the metaphor with regard to the giant sea creature. Notice he said things like, the rivers that run through you, right, will no longer run, that they will be dried up, they will be taken away. Remember that those are the Lord's river, that great river, the river Nile, that Egypt called her own, is truly the Lord's river. When a country finds itself with any kind of wealth, truly that is the Lord's wealth. It is the Lord's stockpile. And everything that a nation has ought to be bent toward how she might, as a nation, glorify God, just like we would with our own things that the Lord gives us in stewardship. Then finally, the metaphor of darkness. It is a day of darkness and trouble for Egypt. This is a common scriptural and prophetic language, a kind of a common metaphor that we need not to think that the day of Nebuchadnezzar, that it was marked by eclipses or any other such thing. This is simply prophetic language that means, by the way, Egypt, it's the end of the world for you. The sun's not going to shine anymore. The stars are not going to give their light. And all of these common blessings that you have enjoyed for so long will cease because your national estate is going to cease. That's what that means. Then in verse 17, we have also the 12th year and the 15th day of the month. So exactly 2 weeks, exactly 14 days after what we have heard in the last prophecy, we have this wrapping up, if you will, this summarization of all that we have covered in the judgment upon the nations. Tubal, Meshech, Elam, Zidon, Edom, and so on. They are all brought together with that refrain that takes place over and over again. They fall as uncircumcised, slain by the sword, and they descend into the pit. Over and again, for each one of those nations. The Lord is justly angry with nations that do not serve Him. And so all of those nations that do not serve Him, like the mightiest nations of old, and when I mean mightiest, when I say mightiest, I mean the mightiest, like Chaldea, like the Assyrians, like Egypt. Forget those paltry nations like Edom and so on, and Elam and Zidon. You take these great nations that ruled over large portions of the world, even take ancient Rome. And when those nations, or ancient Greece even, right? What did Alexander do at the age of 35? He wept. And what was his weeping about? No more world to conquer. No more places. He had conquered all the known world. And where is Greece today? Where is Egypt today? Where is Chaldea today? Where is ancient Rome today? Well, they're gone. They have died the death of the uncircumcised, fallen, all of them slain by the sword, because those nations did not call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us pray for our nation. Let us redouble our efforts in prayer for our nation. Something that particularly struck me this last week while we were talking through some of the things that Mr. Googe had to say, and he was talking about fasting. I don't know if you caught it. I just kind of mentioned it. Why did people fast and pray? Well, it was because they were engaged in great things. Are we engaged in great things today? Are we asking the Lord for great things, such great things that that we would fast for them. They are far beyond our own abilities. Sometimes I think we content ourselves in asking for little things so that, you know, there is a measure of success. One comedian has this really interestingly in a family skit kind of thing where he says, you know, there was the littlest kid, and of course all of the children would vie for what seats they were going to have in the vehicle, right? And the one boy would say, "I call the hump." And the reason he would call the hump is because if he called shotgun or if he called, you know, right side or back side, all of his bigger brothers would just scoot him over and give him the hump. And so he called the hump so he could have a measure of success. He shot low and hit his target. Let me ask you, are we contenting ourselves in shooting low with regard to our nation? Or should we shoot high? And if we're shooting high, Dr. Googe told us last week that, you know, if we are shooting high, perhaps we ought to fast in commensurate with that high aim that we're taking. I thought that was very interesting and very helpful to me. I hope you find it helpful as well. All right, thus ends the reading of Ezekiel chapter 32.